Coming up on TMS, Gal Gadot's
sagging bosom buddies.
He died. Turns out he was terminal.
What if a mystery person A and mystery person B had a baby?
The frog pantheon shaman.
If this gets enough likes, I'll go to prison.
Wide-mouthed bottles.
The bop comet.
I don't like it when my dog doesn't pee.
James Nasium.
Right at your hand tips.
Hey, follow my crime on TikTok.
The car was a toad.
More glue than plastic with Bill.
Backseat junk bag with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Okay, brothers and sisters and misses and misters, here's your daddy, yo, with the sounds to go. No shucking, no jiving. I'm telling you, your music's arriving.
Category 5 loser now departing.
The Morning Stream. Reverend, you've got balls as big as church bells.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's January 10th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. Hi. How
Happy
are you?
Happy Tuesday. I'm fine. It's a Tuesday. You know, Tuesday things apply. Whatever that means. I don't know. I got up.
Taco Tuesday. That's what Taco Tuesday means. It means that it's Taco Tuesday and taco rules apply.
Oh, so annoyed this morning. My dog would not pee. She's in the kennel for 12 hours. I know she needs to pee. Yeah. I'm 100%. Never been more of a surety in my life that a creature needs to do something. In this case, pee this morning. And she just danced around and acted like there's no way I'm doing this. And looked at me the whole time. I couldn't even scare it out of her. She's just not going to pee.
Did you scare? Oh, please tell me you tried to scare it out of her. Like
I did. I did. I went like this. I went, Rainer, blah, like in her face. Yeah. Sometimes, because she's a nervous dog.
Yeah,
sometimes
like
she'll
dogs,
do that.
Yeah, nervous dogs just piddle like that. And
she didn't do it.
Not a thing you want to like, like foster. Like you don't want
to. No, you don't. This isn't a good idea. To do this to your dog. I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's just won't pee. I don't know what's going on. And then when she will need to, someone won't be around, so she'll be dancing at the door freaking out, and I won't be able to help her. So thankfully, Carter's home now, and she can take care of it.
Well, this is her dog. Oh, no, that one's not her.
No,
dog.
This one's mine. Hers is now back to the old, oh, I thought she was gone forever, and now that she's back, I will never leave her side and obey nobody but her.
Oh, you gotta love that.
Yeah. It's out of control, to be honest, but whatever. Hey, we got some stuff today. Let's get right straight to it.
Let's do it.
You know that Harley Quinn show we talk about a lot here? We like it.
I know it very well. Still in the middle of the next the current season?
Season two, I think, is all there is, right?
Yeah, season two.
And three is, I guess, coming.
Three is coming.
Which is good to hear.
HBO doesn't... screw something up.
They keep chopping animation projects, so I'm always worried. But I think this was a big hit for them, so I think they're probably good. But anyway, got a text from an anonymous listener. They just didn't share their name. It's not like I'm keeping them anonymous. They just didn't say who they were. They said, hey, Scott, I heard you guys mention you wish there were more Harley Quinn on TMS yesterday. Says, it's my wife and I's favorite show this year, and we talked to my uncle at Christmas, who has been an artist for various Disney and WB animations, and he's working on an animated spinoff of Harley and the Villain Bar called Noonan's.
Oh.
Kite Man is going to be the main guy in it. We were very stoked to hear about it and thought I'd share it with you. So it's probably good you're anonymous, because I don't think this is public yet.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's NDA right there. Yeah. That's probably why you're anonymous.
Yeah.
Oh, Warner Brothers is calling. They want to know if you can give them the phone number that text came from.
Yeah, exactly. Good thing I delete these after I get them.
Yeah.
but that's awesome. That's
great.
Yeah, that says good things. So.
You know, I know Kaylee Kaylee Cuoco, does the voice of Harley Quinn. Lake Bell is the voice of Ivy. Who's the voice of Kite Man? Do you know?
Kite Man, I do, or I did. Let's see if I can look it up real fast. Because
I know Ron Funches is your King Shark.
Clayface is Alan Tudyk.
That guy cannot hide his voice.
No, it's impossible. Alan Tudyk's great as Clayface. He might actually be Kite Man, too. Let's see.
He's great, yeah.
Let's see if I can... Oh, no, Kite Man is Matt Oberg. Do we know him?
Do we know him as anything but Kite Man?
Superstore? Who is he? Bruce?
Oh, who was he on Superstore?
Someone named Bruce on there?
Was he on a lot of episodes or just one episode of Superstore?
Looks like four episodes. Yeah, a lot of Veep. He played Buddy Calhoun on Veep. I don't know.
Okay, now I gotta see
Modern Family. Someone named Trent for a one-off. He's been around.
He has been around. I mean, I'm looking at him, and he looks a lot like
Fresh Off the Boat, Matthew Chestnut. You watch that?
No, never seen a single episode of Fresh Off the Boat.
For some reason,
too busy watching Blackish. Blackish. He looks like if hold on, it's coming to me.
All right.
He looks like if.
Give him a minute.
Oh my God! It would help. Like, it would be great if I could remember the two names that I'm saying. If those two had a baby.
It would be if Mystery Person A and Mystery Person B had a baby.
If he would look just like that.
Oh,
exactly.
Man.
Hold on a second.
Wow,
give me
you're
one
not
second
wrong.
Here. He looks like if Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yeah.
And
that's a good one.
And Ed Helms had a baby.
You know what? That's pretty good. Just having had a glance at his photo, you're pretty close. the other person I love on there is I would love Clayface and the Bane they do to have their own show. They make me laugh so hard.
Yeah, like, oh, the Bane is fantastic. Actually, the Clayface is fantastic.
What are you three doing in here? I mean, they're just making fun of the Tom Hardy Bane, but it's amazing. It's so good.
It's so good.
I can't believe you left me again. He's just always pissed and...
Maybe he'll be a regular in Noonan's bar.
That'd be great. I'd be into that.
Wasn't lost my memory Joker, or they thought he lost his memory Joker in a bartender at Noonan's for an episode or two?
Oh, maybe. No, I'm trying. Was that season one?
No, that was season. It was the after season one is when Joker's kingdom comes crashing down, and then he supposedly. Lost his memory and was a bartender at I thought Noonan's.
Oh, that might mean two. Why that. I think that means I haven't seen any of season two. I think is what that means.
Oh,
I know, which is bad. I love the show. Why haven't I seen it? Part of me
spoiler,
was like, oh, it'll
I guess
be.
You know, the Joker survived.
Well, I mean, who? Yeah, you can't kill the Joker. You know.
Right. No, I know.
But yes. The way I see these things is like I got to stop doing this because Warner Brothers has been chopping stuff. But I always see that, like I tell you about Netflix, like, oh, it'll be there forever. I'll get to it.
Yeah,
that's not so true now.
No, you know? It's not so true. I was bummed to find out. So one of my favorite shows that got canceled and just bums me out that it got canceled because it was so good.
Yeah,
was a show called Vinyl.
Oh, I loved
Vinyl. And I recommend told this.
Yeah, had your had that guy we like in it.
Yes, the
Carnival guy,
Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah,
Cannavale, yeah.
He's great.
And it was an HBO Max original series, right? So I thought, oh, well, that'll always be on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. No,
yeah, they got
it's
rid
not
of it.
Anymore.
Even though it was a single, I know they didn't get renewed, so it was a single season, right?
It was a single season.
I just figure that stuff just lives forever, and it's not. Like,
yeah,
it bums me out a lot, actually, because I don't know where you get that now. If you ever wanted to go watch that season with him and Ray Romano, yeah, he's in it.
He is in it.
He's great in it, actually.
Now... let's see, Vinyl season one. Oh yeah, like you can watch bonus stuff on
what?
I don't get this. So
they forgot to take the bonus stuff off.
Yeah, no, on Amazon Prime. So if you go to Amazon Prime, you can watch. I don't know what bonus is.
Me neither.
But that's what you can watch now for free.
It's the B side of the Vinyl record.
Yeah, I guess this is like a making of. Yeah, it's an episode zero. Season one, episode zero.
Well, what is the point of that if you don't have a show?
I know, exactly. Would you like to watch the behind the scenes of the show that you can't watch on...
That seems super dumb to me. But yeah. What do I know?
Anyway,
I don't work in that world. Who knows? I don't know.
But keep an eye out for Vinyl when it comes back, for that one season of streaming, because it is... God, it is so good.
They could have kept going. I liked their version of... Was it
Robert Plant?
Yeah, Robert Plant.
Yes.
It was weird to see all that stuff
in that 70s era. Tuba says, I didn't like Vinyl. It was okay. He says it was oak. But the timelines and stuff were all dumb. It was like a movie based on rock legend rumor. Oh, really? You think? Because I
liked it more than that. I liked it
quite
a bit.
Yeah, I didn't think it was... I didn't think the timelines were that far off.
Also, wasn't it a kind of a big deal showrunner that was doing it? at the time? Somebody who's done something else, maybe a co-writer of The Wire
David
or
Chase,
something.
Not David Chase. It felt like a David Chase thing, but
it's one of those people, though. Right? Yeah, it's like either Sopranos, ex-Sopranos, or ex-Wire, or ex-Mad Men, or something.
Right. I'll tell you. Actually, I'll tell you that it was the showrunner was
some prestige.
Oh, Martin Scorsese.
Oh, he was the producer.
Yeah. Created by, though. Yeah. Executive producer. Also, Mick Jagger, executive producer.
Oh. All right.
He
danced a lot.
Yeah, I don't see an actual showrunner listed. That's kind of weird.
That is weird. I thought there was somebody of note there, but maybe I remember it wrong.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's easy to mix it up. We got another correction here from Dan in Rhode Island. Okay.
Okay.
We never hear from Rhode Island.
I mean, it's the smallest state, so it has the fewest number of TMS listeners, I believe. That's
true. You know what weirded me out? Carter got home and reminded me that the entirety of the Icelandic population is less than the entirety of Utah's population.
Oh, really?
And we have their entire country would fit inside of the state of Utah in terms of size.
Really? Oh, yeah. That actually does surprise me. I don't know why I thought Iceland was bigger than that, but no. I guess not.
On the map, I mean, they do that thing on the map where some stuff's bloated out because of where it's, you know, you flatten a map, it makes things look bigger or smaller than they really are. Huh. So I think there's a little of that going on, but that blew my mind. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, here's the correction. This is about Lorca, or as I called him, Gorka, for some reason.
Gorka, sure. Captain, I think we tried Gorka. Gorka, Dorka.
Yeah, Dorka, Gorka. I could not think of his name.
At some point.
He says, Dan says, Scott, Lorca was supposed to be a shitty captain on Discovery, or was supposed to be one, is the emphasis. If you remember, he was actually the mirror universe version of who replaced the real Lorca.
Right.
Says Dan in Rhode Island.
Good point.
Yeah, I forgot, but I understand that. I'm still saying the point is that you take the Star Trek template and you effed with it in a way that is, maybe it's interesting from a story perspective in any other thing, but in Star Trek, I feel like you gotta be solid with your captains. I think it's dangerous not to. It's just, it will drive some people away, is all I'm saying. Will I still watch your show? Sure. Will I hold it in the regard that I hold the ones where truly true heroism comes out of captains? No. Mm-hmm. I can't hold it that high. Now, I haven't been past season two, so, you know, I'm gonna Kim's watching it, so when she catches up season two, we're going to keep going, and we're just going to finish Discovery before the next season of Hoo Ha comes out. Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds, sure.
Which they're filming now, is my understanding. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Dan, from Rhode Island. Both those people texted us from our number, 801-471-0462. And a reminder, you can use that number to text us, but you can also use it to leave voicemails, which we are happy to play on the show. I just hardly ever mention that, but you can leave a voicemail. And if it's not 5 minutes long, we'll play it here. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds great.
There's probably got to be a limit, an audio limit on the recording.
Oh, I don't know. I've had some people. Well, maybe. I've had some people go 6-7 minutes just because it was like a butt dial or something and just sat in their pocket. Yeah. So it doesn't seem to, but I'm sure that at some point that if it detects silence, I'll bet it stops or something.
Yeah, probably.
But I got one once where it was just a guy's pocket going.
Oh, geez. Yep.
Then I heard him at a mall going on a bunch of other voices in the background, and I tried to make sense of it. It wasn't good show content, so I chucked it. But
right. Oh, prepare yourself for a 4-minute and 59-second recording from some smart ass.
Yeah.
With an
Irish accent. Yeah, that'll happen. Hey, your mom called the show, Benjamin. Very funny. I like that. All right. Quick note. Speaking of calls.
Yeah.
I've been trying to figure out a more efficient way to do the feud calls on Wednesdays. Sure. So that's not today, but I wanted to put this out there. I think I've figured out a relatively simple way of dragging people into a call that are calling us via Discord or trying to get in via Discord. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, though, anybody out there who needs to be on with us... or wants to be on with us, okay, or wants to participate.
Listen, if you need to be on Feud, please.
Yeah, please reassess your needs, because that's weird. But I respect you if you want to be on, and we want you to be on. So what I need you to do, to try this experiment, and this is just for live people. People at home, no one's going to care about this. You can friend me if you want to, but you need to friend me on Discord which is my name on Discord is frogpants #1277. Make sure I'm reading that right. So frogpants #1277.
Octothorpe.
Everybody, so that you can have a name that someone else can share. It's like Blizzard, same thing. Blizzard does the same thing with friends lists. If you there could be
should I tweet out the #?
you need the #, though. Literally,
you do. But some people call it like number.
Oh,
you know, frog pants number. Blah 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 blah.
Well, some people call it hash.
They do call it hash or hashtag if you're on Twitter.
When I grew up, it was #. Yes. Wasn't it #? When you grew up, that's what we called it.
Oh, it 100% was, because that's what all of the touch tone phone companies would tell you to press.
Yeah, like, yeah. Press. You want to get to an operator, press #. They'd say, yeah. Or maybe they were trying to say #. Our phone system sucks. I don't know what they're saying.
I still like Octothorpe.
Octothorpe is pretty good. Name. I like that a lot. I like empty. Tic-tac-toe board. That's pretty good. That doesn't take much to say, you know? So you say frog pants, empty tic-tac-toe board, 1277. There's the number. Anyway.
I defy somebody to find the full tic-tac-toe board key on their keyboard.
Yeah, good luck with that. Oh, I see. Already 7 people are doing this. That's good. We want this. So what will happen is there will be a pool of you that I will then invite to a certain place within Discord. I'm still working on how to do that. I should have it fixed today. Then we should be able to pull them in based on a random pick. So we'll be like, you know, there's 30 of them in there. We'll pick a number randomly between 1 and 30. I'll say to Brian, pick a number between 1 and 30. I'll say to Dunaway, pick a number. And then we'll, I don't know, we'll figure that out.
Oh, there you go. We do have a private Chan, you know, in the Frogpants Central Discord, there's private Chan.
Yeah, we have all that. The problem is I can't pull people in there to our call, and we would have to leave this call to go in there.
Well, no, I mean we could actually do our show in the private Chan.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then people who wanted to play could go into playdate waiting like they do when we have a playdate, and then we just drag one of those people into the private channel.
That's only a problem for guests, because when we pull in guests, we have to pull them in a different way. So yeah, I don't know.
Bobby getting playdate waiting. Bill getting playdate waiting.
Yeah. People.
No, okay. Yeah, you got a point.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. So anyway, we'll work on it. I'm going to work on it today. We'll figure it out. But if you want to, 11 of you, that's good. If you want to get in there, again, that's Frogpants #1277. You don't even have to be a part of the Frogpants Discord to do this, by the way.
But why wouldn't you be?
I mean, you should. You should.
Yeah.
Because it's open and free and just get in.
Yeah, you should.
But if you don't want to, it's fine. You can just do this thing and it'll make you get in. So anyway, there you go. That's all I want to say about that. Let's move on.
Cool.
No more Gorka, no more Lorca. Time for the news. Today's news, it's brought to you by
Soundography, featuring the last You Gotta Listen to This episode of the season with Brian, with me, and War of the Worlds, that awesome Jeff Wayne War of the Worlds recording. If you have not heard that album.
I haven't.
Oh, my God. It is.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
You need. This is some great stuff. Now, you want to do the original, but there are newer versions out there that have Liam Neeson and all these other, like, you know, big names on it. Yeah. But the original is the one to listen to.
And so this is a music thing or both? It's like a story.
It is. It's a rock and roll musical with no video. Like it is a musical presented only as audio.
It's fantastic.
And it's the War of the Worlds based on the original H.G. Wells, not this Tom Cruise crap, not this
you don't like the Tom Cruise movie.
I like the Tom Cruise crap, and I like the Orson Welles thing too, but.
But there's an authenticity to the original.
There's an authenticity. Like, you've got, you know, characters that H.G. Wells had in there, like the artilleryman and the guy and his wife and stuff like that. So it's put it on your next thing to listen to on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you get your music, the Jeff Wayne War of the Worlds, and carve out an hour. Listen to it and you will thank me at the end of that.
I am absolutely going to do that. I didn't know it was a thing at all. How old is this?
It is 77, I think.
Oh, so it is old.
It's old, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe could it be early? It's Richard Burton. That's who I was trying to think of who the narrator is. renowned actor Richard Burton. And Richard Burton.
Why can't I remember? I know the name. Oh, that Richard Burton. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't he Dr. Doolittle or...
Shakespearean dude. Oh, was he Dr. Doolittle? Really?
God, why would that could be... Am I wrong? Am I thinking of somebody else?
Oh my gosh, he's older than Henry Kissinger, and Henry Kissinger's still alive. That's weird. No, he's younger. Henry. I'm sorry. This has been blowing my mind. Everybody that was born 100 years ago is mostly dead, except for Henry Kissinger, Bob Barker. Those are the two, like we talked about yesterday. And Richard Burton was born 2 years after them, and he died in the 80s.
Oh, wow. Oh, Rex Harrison was Dr. Doolittle. Yep, thank you, TRPW. What was Richard? Richard Burton was, like Scott said, a bunch of Shakespearean stuff, but wasn't he also like a...
Cleopatra, I think.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Let's see here. I can tell you real quick. He was...
Yeah, there was even a video game based... A 1984 computer game based on this version of War of the Worlds.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of want to see that now.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Let's see. Was it bad?
I watched the video. You could either play as the aliens or you could play as the humans. And it was kind of like, almost like Risk, where you're trying to take over as much of the UK as possible.
Wow. That sounds weird. Alexander the Great he was in Wuthering Heights in the 50s. A bunch of stuff with Elizabeth Taylor, okay. Camelot. Yeah. Cleopatra, and they're making that new Cleopatra, and you know who's making that? So they're redoing Cleopatra entirely,
starring Anya Taylor-Joy.
Nope, they got the Gal Gadot you were talking about yesterday.
Oh, really?
She's perfect for Gal Gadots. She'll be in it. Gal Gadot is in it.
I love Gal Gadot.
And then being directed by Denis Villeneuve, who's taken. Oh. I guess this is after he finishes Dune Part 2. He'll move on to that. I think that's his next thing. I am all in, dude. All in. Bring it on.
Wow. That's cool.
So excited.
Did you know that Richard Burton was married to Elizabeth Taylor?
No.
Not once, but twice.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
Did they meet?
Married in 1964, divorced in 1974. Married again in 1975, divorced in 1976.
Oh, man. Then he died in 84.
Really thought those two were going to make it. Dang it.
He drank a lot. Looks like he was a big drinker, according to this.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, there
let's
you
get
go.
To the news.
Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds, also featuring music by Justin Hayward of Moody Blues, David Essex, Phil Lynott of Thin Lizzy.
Yeah.
Favorite that's great. Lizzie. It's so good.
Yeah. I like a good Thin Lizzy. Sounds like something you'd order at like a deli or something. I want a Thin Lizzy, please.
Like Lizzy Zero, I think, is what it would be Lizzy called. What the band would be called now?
It wouldn't just be Diet Lizzy. It would be full Lizzy Zero.
It'd be Lizzy Zero, yes. Diet Lizzy in the 80s, but now it'd be called Lizzy Zero.
Time passes. All right, here's your first story. There was a man stuck in the snow. He decided to break into a school. Mm-hmm. He spent 2 days cooking and shooting hoops in there. And I kind of love it.
It's like a weird version of Castaway.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
The bunch of Wilsons.
Start talking to his basketball, give him a name.
Right.
Let's see. A man in upstate New York broke into a school over Christmas break and spent several days inside cooking in the classroom and playing basketball in the gymnasium, a word I hate. I hate that word. Gymnasium. Just say gym. Just say Jim. It's fine. They don't have to say. I don't know why the
article
had to. But
then it gets confused with the name, right? Like,
oh, you know. Good point.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
My friend got stuck at a gay bar in a gym. No, how would that work? It would be...
got stuck in a guy named Jim in an upstate New York.
Got stuck in a gym.
Nobody wants that. Let's see. Driving on State Highway on Christmas Day, 35-year-old man... got stuck in a snowbank near Brownville. They had real bad snow in upstate New York that week.
Yeah, they did.
It was really bad. Small town near the Canadian border, according to Jefferson County Sheriff's Office press release. The area had been pummeled by a blizzard, leaving behind several feet of snow. According to the police, it appears the man then spent the next 2 days inhabiting General Brown High School, located nearby. He snacked on food from a concession stand and cooked in the home economics classroom.
I love that. Like, cooked in the home ec classroom. Yep. I hope he got a good grade.
I hope so, too. I hope they give it. Maybe he didn't graduate from high school, and this gives him his GED just for doing this.
That's right, exactly. Why do they have inhabiting in quotes? Because he was inhabiting the school.
I don't know. Like, they don't need to quote it. It's not like ironic.
There's no, right. There's inhabit? No jiggery pokery going on. He inhabited it.
Yahoo News, man. They're just writing stuff. Who knows?
That's really funny.
Says at one point he left the school to his snowbound vehicle. It was an SUV. Still got stuck. But discovered that it had been disappeared. When he called the county officials, he was told the car had been towed, and they were trying to get in touch with him, so he had to get in touch with the towing company. Instead, the man returned to the school, stayed for another day, hung out in there. Afterwards, nice. The man, a resident of Watertown, made off with the school's snowplow, and that's how he got home.
I love it.
It's pretty great.
You took my SUV. I'm taking the snowplow.
I mean, what do you actually? Are they gonna? They don't say here, but are you gonna charge this guy? Like, I feel like you let this one go almost. You know,
I think so, right? I mean, this was kind of like a way to save his life. Basically, was like, I'm stuck. I got no other place to go. I'm just going to get into this school and stay warm. And
Do you really want to throw
Twinkies in the...
do you really want to throw the book at him? I would feel bad if you did. Just let it go. Or you know, have him pay back for any food he ate and all the stuff he did. Yeah. And if he broke anything, he should pay for those things. But don't, like... I don't think you should get, like, full larceny, you know, breaking and entering stuff.
I do want to watch the Netflix series that is going to be based on this guy and what he did in that school for 3 days.
I can't wait. Another Tom Hanks reference. What was that movie where he was stuck in the airport and lived there?
Oh, yeah. It was The Immigrant. No, The Terminal.
The Terminal. He was an immigrant, though. So that's
yes,
a good call there. But I heard that guy, that real guy, just died.
Did he?
And still lived there or something?
Oh, no. Really? He never got... I thought he... Because he was... The legal reasons he couldn't leave the airport, but he also couldn't fly back home. Like, basically...
Right. There was some combo of things. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, yeah. Here it is. The Terminal Man, Marin Carmini, however you say his name, age 76, dies at the airport where he lived for 18 years.
Wow.
An Iranian resident who was caught in legal limbo after his home country ejected him as a citizen in 88 has died. He was a refugee that had lived in Terminal 1's departure lounge in Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport from 88 to 2006. Oh, wait. I thought it still said he...
Oh, yeah. Maybe he went back to the airport to die.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. You know, no.
I have one last thing on my bucket list. I must go back to the airport and die.
And die. I don't know why he's Armenian, but we'll take it.
I don't either, but I can't do an Iranian accent.
It's totally fine. Says, as per reports, the man died due to a heart attack in Terminal 2F of the airport.
Oh, not even in the departure lounge?
No.
Lame.
Midday on Saturday, they tried to resuscitate. They couldn't. Let's see. He wrote an autobiography while he was there. This is crazy. What a weird deal.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, he died.
Oh.
Tom Hanks is alive and well, though, everybody. Don't worry.
Yes. Yes. And has a new movie coming out that...
Mr. Pitts or something. What's it called?
Yeah. 2 hours of watching him cut a Snickers bar with a fork and knife.
I finally turned that into the big screen epic it was always meant to be.
Bosom Buddies, the movie.
Yeah. What's this called? I'm going to find it. A Man Called Otto. That's the name.
Man Called Otto. Okay.
He's a producer and acting in it. And that looks interesting.
You're right about the double T.
Yeah, it was close. That was close.
Could they?
Yeah.
Could they make a Bosom Buddies remake, a reboot, or whatever in 2023? Like, what?
They could. They're doing it with these other shows. You know, if they're going to make it that '90s show, if they're going to make a new Night Court, like.
Yeah, but are people dressing up as women to live somewhere? Is that funny anymore?
Oh, they would have to. They would at the very least either have to change that whole story arc, or it would have to be, you know, flip it to be, well, they're going to pretend to be, because back then that meant gay because people were dumb in the 80s.
Right, that was the joke. That was the whole like Jack Tripper.
So what they do now is they would want to join an actual gay sorority or gay, you know, whatever it is. And they have to pretend to be gay, but they're not. They could maybe do that because then you can explore social issues and have it be a little wink, wink, and not have that be like, a positive thing to be lying to everybody, but have it be a problem. You know what I mean? They could do it. They could pull it off. Or don't have it about that at all. Just have it be like, I don't know.
I think you redo it. Here's how you redo it. Here's how you make it good. It's a couple guys who are broke.
Yeah.
And figure out that they can live really cheaply in a retirement home. Okay. So they use lots of makeup to make themselves look like they're 80 years old.
Oh my Lord.
And they have to act old.
No, this works.
Instead of acting like women, they have to act old to live in this place.
That's a great idea. Instead of ageism is way less of a problem than sexism,
right.
Gender equality.
I mean, you're still going to have ageism jokes, aren't you, Liv?
Oh, yeah. You definitely will. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could do that and get away with it more, I think, then. And then what you do is
Bill,
you stack
do we have to watch Matlock again?
But you got to stack your cast with amazing old actors that are really sharp and funny and take the stage and really kick butt.
And blow the whole, ageism stereotype. The, oh, I thought we'd be living here and watching and playing bingo and going to bed at 5 o'clock every night.
Icor wants to call it sagging bosom buddies. That's fantastic. That's really good, dude. Also, BioCal's Boomer really Buddies. Yeah. Boomer Buddies might be our title today. Congratulations on that already. That's very funny.
Golden Buddies.
Golden Buddies. I like all these. These are all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, here's a story for you. After that guy in New York, let's talk about this guy, an arsonist. No one likes an arsonist.
No.
I can't think of an arsonist anyone really likes.
I can't think of an arsonist. Like, can you think of anybody?
The only
person who I suspect might be an arsonist is that little girl in the meme that's kind of looking with a smile at the camera with the fire burning behind her.
She did really well. At the height of the NFT craze, she sold that image for $800,000 worth of Bitcoin.
Jeez, yeah. Nicely done. Way to, like, you did it right.
But the bottom fell out, and now whoever owns
it. Yeah, and now whoever owns that is like, crap. Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, it turns out it's still everywhere, and
Guy Fox. Guy Fox is a great,
Guy Fox.
There's the one, there's one arsonist.
Yeah, yes. One arsonist we can get behind, I guess. Just depends on which side of the conflict you're on.
Him. Don't get in front of him is the problem.
Yes. No, never do that.
I loved him in V for Vendetta. Oh, anyway.
Such a good movie, dude. That movie's great. It's
my
so
favorite
good.
Guy Fawkes movie was V for Vendetta.
So here's the deal. These arsonists set themselves on fire this is all by accident, while trying to burn down a California immigration center. I'm kind of glad this happened to them.
Yeah, I am too.
A video surfaced two arsonists setting themselves, arsonists, I would call them, setting themselves on fire while attempting to burn down an immigration services building and business in California. Fox 11, the local affiliate which obtained the footage of the fire taken from the Ring security camera, reports the incident took place on Monday. This was a company that provides immigration and naturalization services to people. As seen in the above surveillance video, two unidentified masked individuals approached the business, began dousing the business with what appears to be gasoline or some other kind of lighter fluid. When one of the suspects attempts to light the fluid, the fire immediately engulfs both men. The pair are seen running away with flames trailing in their wake. Let's see if I can show this. I think there's GIFs at least.
I hope.
Let's see. I mean, I don't want them to die, but I do want them to be...
No, I want them to... Yeah, I want their clothes to be burned off, and they have a long walk home.
Yeah, I want them to have a hard time. Let's see if I can get this video.
Oh, God. Wow. Jeez.
Well, this is the problem is they're... First of all, they're just throwing it everywhere. Oh, shit. Run, you dumbass.
Yeah. And then one of them falls over. That's not a stop, drop, and roll. That is a whoop.
Yeah. Throw the ring at these turds, man. I hate these guys. Throw the ring? Did I say throw the ring?
Throw the ring at them.
I didn't mean
ring.
Throw the book is what I meant.
Throw the one ring at them because obviously they are the fires of Mordor.
I was reading a ring camera right when I said that and it came out as ring. Anyway, it says they responded to the fire. They've not been caught yet. But they hope that they can identify them and get them. I agree. They have to work harder on that aspect to keep the community safe. We're a small business. We help many people. So there will be people not be able to receive our services due to inactivity because of the fire. Yeah, that sucks. Jeez. Go get those buttholes.
Yeah.
anus trees.
Might find them at a local hospital, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. Check the burn unit at the local hospital.
Exactly.
Although they're probably so dumb, they went home and just wrapped themselves in ice and dealt with it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's how dumb they are.
Yeah.
Hey, get excited.
Wieners to burn off. Yes, please.
Get excited. The Satanic Temple has a big deal coming up. They're dedicating the largest satanic gathering in history in Boston. It's happening. And the Boston mayor will require masks at the event.
So good.
That's good. If a satanic temple. Now, see, I have a question before I read this story. The Satanic Temple thing is all just a ruse to say, hey.
Deep state, Scott.
It's all a ruse. They're not really devil worshipers, whatever that may mean to people. They're just kind of throwing in things in the face of religion and tax free status and all that. Isn't that the deal?
It's like a just a title that gets the attention to the things that they are.
I think so.
Protesting.
I think so. I don't know. I don't know this for sure, and I know someone in the chat will know, but it's like. My understanding is, at least in some cases, like there are people who think, oh, there are people that are sitting around doing devil worship. No, I don't think so. I think this is just like people are like, oh, you got your churches, you're all tax free, and you can do whatever you want, and you molest kids, and you this and that. We can have a church too. We'll call it the devil's whatever. Take that, you know, like it's kind of a screw you kind of thing. I think.
So there's a Netflix documentary called Hail Satan?
Yeah. Hosted by Dana Carvey.
Hail Satan. Oh, hold on, let's do this right if I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah,
Hail Satan.
Oh, look at that. Right at your hand tips, your fingertips.
Right at my hand tips.
Yeah.
I'm surprised this is one you haven't seen.
No, I would. That sounds my jam. I'll watch that.
It does sound like your jam, yeah.
I'll watch that. Hell yeah. And that might answer my question. Well, anyway. Yeah. Satanic Temple's dedicating the largest satanic gathering in history to Democratic Boston Mayor Michelle Wu after the group wasn't allowed to deliver a satanic invocation at the Boston City Hall. Satan Con 2023 will take place in downtown Boston. Oh, it's the week we're in Vegas. Dang.
Oh, no.
That's a shame.
Darn it. You got to make a big decision. Are you going to go to Satan Con or are you going to go to...
Claire, are you still going to come see us now that you've heard your competing con?
I mean, she's the keynote speaker at Satan Con. I don't think she looked at her schedule when she booked her flight to
she might be Satan herself. She is Satan. Anyway, registered guests are required to wear masks and show proof of COVID-19 vaccination, according to the organization. Attendees must wear their N95 or KN95 disposable or disposable surgical mask, says the site. Gaiters, bandanas, and cloth masks will not be allowed. What are gaiters?
Gaiters are those like neck, like basically you can just pull them up, but they're like cloth rings that you wear around your neck and you can just pull them up over your...
One of these arsonist guys is wearing one of those, I think.
Probably, yeah, probably.
Seems like that would be
great. It's what they call buffs on Survivor.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've never heard either of those things. I guess I don't watch Survivor.
Buff might be the brand.
buff gators?
Yeah. Drop your buffs.
Weird. Yeah. The theme of the gathering in celebration of the Satanic Temple's 10-year anniversary is Hexenacht in Boston, German for Witches' Night.
I was going to say, Nacht is night, so witches, Hexen. Sure, okay.
Witches' night. That makes sense. Which marks the ancient pagan holiday of May.
It's Witches' Night, and the feeling's right. Oh, what a night.
Do, 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 do. Yep, that's the song.
Oh, what a night.
The night was also later changed to Walpurgisnacht to commemorate Walpurgia, a Christian saint who evangelized Germany and was said to have exorcised demons from the sick. Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Good luck to him.
Good for great work from that dude, but man, poor name, Walpurgia.
Yeah, Walpurgia. Purga. Purga? Purga. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Germans, they have these names. They struggle. It's it is what it is. Oh, I had something funny. Speaking of Germans and cars.
Sure.
We should play this anytime cars come up. Hold on. Where is it?
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
So we do lift stories, we do car stories, and I just got to play that more. Anyway.
Yeah.
Kim's out driving Carter home from the university yesterday, and it's raining cats and dogs. We've had nothing but rain for like 24 hours and no snow, which is weird. But it's been warm enough that all the snow is melting and just tons of rain, which means I have poop soup out in the backyard. I got to go clean it up today because the dogs are gross.
Poop soup.
Yeah, it's gross.
My favorite E! Network TV show.
Oh, it's the best. So anyways, she's coming home and they're on the freeway doing about 70. And they're, you know, windshield wipers are going vert, 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 vert. And suddenly one of them makes kind of a weird fart noise, like it rubbed wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And then went on the way up, went fling. Slipped off.
Oh no!
And flew off like a freaking Twizzler off into the median.
Yeah. Oh shoot!
And just landed in the median, and then Kim went the rest of the way home, and it was her side too, so she had to go the rest of the way home. Like, kept having to put a rag out there because it's dirty water from all the snow and ice or salt.
Sure, I'd also be worried about the exposed metal scraping the glass now.
Yeah, so that's why she had to turn that off. She pulled over twice to clean it up because it got so dirty, and then the rest of the time just like eagle eyeing it the best she can.
It
was a little intense, but thanks, Volkswagen.
Fling.
They both saw it happen. She said it was like slow motion, and there was nothing they could do.
No,
because they're doing 70.
It's like you're just watching. Like, right, you're watching those last swipes as it's coming loose.
Yeah. I would have been all kinds of angry. Anyway, final story.
Yep.
A biker got caught after posting his police chase on TikTok, dumbass.
Oh, nicely done. I love it when they're dumb enough to social media their crimes against humanity.
Yeah, this is how you identify people. This guy's an idiot. Biker in Georgia, no offense. Amy, don't worry. We're not, you know, we know you're fine. Some people in Georgia, I guess.
Yeah,
anyway, biker in Georgia was on the run from the law and almost got away with it. That is until he prematurely posted about his victory on social media. The Clayton County Police Department issued arrest warrants for the unidentified motorcyclist.
Would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for those TikTok teens.
He uploaded a video of themselves chased by the police on TikTok and YouTube. According to the local affiliate, the motorcyclist was being chased by Georgia State Patrol and managed to throw them off the trail. However, authorities were able to identify the make, excuse me, and model of the rare sports motorcycle through footage posted online of the chase itself using investigative software. As it turns out, there was only one of those vehicles registered in that area, and the authorities were able to track down its owner. They also found photos of the motorcycle on the suspect's social media accounts.
Dope.
The video was posted on the Clayton County Police Department's Facebook page and shows the driver speeding on the interstate while maneuvering through traffic and in between cars. The police department celebrated the arrest with a siren and a police car emoji in their post. So everybody's getting all social media up in here.
Woo! Yeah. Well, you gotta play into the joke now, so that's just fine.
Made me think of, is there anything I have currently sitting on social media from all the years I've posted to it that would ever be, so if I then went and committed a crime. Yeah, like if I did some, let's say today I went and committed some crime.
Yeah.
Is there anything in the history of my total post social media posts that they could go through and suss out and find something?
Yeah, there were a bunch of photos of you wearing some sort of pelt, face paint, and horns, and walking around with a government lectern.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. I mean, no, it didn't. I didn't. I was home on January 6th. I didn't go anywhere.
The frog pentian shaman.
What's that guy doing? He got.
He's in jail still.
He is in jail, right? He was. Yeah. Well, he was one that got time, I think.
He was one that got time, yeah. Same with the dude who put his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk and, like, all these people who put social media video of themselves.
Oh, yeah. So the guy that broke into his office and put his legs up, he is definitely in jail.
He's definitely in jail.
Sean.
And he wrote "you bitch" on a piece of, like, on one of her documents or something.
I just don't know how bored you have to be to do this. Let's see.
Bored.
I mean, those people, I guess they're not. I mean, if
you're
life.
For the likes, baby. How hungry for likes.
I guess so. Yeah. Here he is. He's the shaman. He's in jail.
Shaman.
Yep. He's in jail. His mom's still complaining that he isn't eating right in there. I feel really bad for him. I'm very sad for the QAnon shaman.
The Yellowstone Wolf, otherwise known as the Yellowstone Wolf.
Yep. Lame. All right, well, that's your stories for the day. We're done with news. That means we're taking a break. Before we do that, though, I'd like to mention that Bill is in the wings, ready to talk about maker stuff. And then after that, some time with Bobby and some science. All of that will happen after this song from Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, well, this one comes to us from Alberta, Canada. So I don't know, you know, in English, in American English, in American, it's 2 minutes, 34 seconds. I don't know how that translates to Canadian time, but it's a band called Trashed Ambulance. They have a brand new single called Syntax Error, and it's spelled with a C-Y for syntax as opposed to S-Y. As if you're a fan of the Flatliners, Face to Face, or Pulley, you're going to love this. This is some great punk rock right here. Here is the band, Trashed Ambulance, and the single Syntax Error.
Encased in chicken skin and bacon.
I think she's the saddest girl to ever hold a martini.
The Morning Stream. Kill the good. Kill the good. Kill the good.
And we returned. I need to know who that was one more time.
Yes. Courtesy of Thousand Islands Records. They're great on salad. That's Alberta, Canada's Trashed Ambulance and a brand new single called Syntax Error.
Nice. That's excellent stuff there.
It is excellent stuff.
All right. It's time to punish Palante. Punish our props.
Yeah.
And give props to the...
props ain't gonna punish themselves.
Yeah, who's gonna punish these props if he doesn't come in here and do it?
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Nobody is the answer. Hey, it's Bill Duran joining us talking about maker stuff from punishprops.com. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hello, good to be here.
Hey, you informed me yesterday that we have been friends, at least on Facebook, for 12 years.
Oh,
I think it was 14.
14, was it? Oh my gosh.
Something like that.
How is that even possible?
Long time.
Yeah, that's weird. I remember, okay, first time I ever saw Bill, 2010, Nerdtacular, we're at a pizza place. Mm. And I show up there. I think you're there, Brian, with Tristan and Tina.
Probably just Tristan in 2010.
Oh, yeah. It might have been just Tristan.
Tina,
yeah.
Tina didn't come to Nerdtaculars until we had him at Jillian's. What was that place called?
Noah's.
Noah's, yeah, thank you.
So 2011, the very next year.
Was that? Okay.
Yeah. What was my point? Oh, my point was, I remember him standing there, and I remember thinking, and I saw your wife, and I remember thinking, she is a lot taller than he is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, everyone has that reaction.
We have that initial reaction, but then since then, you know, I see you and Britt, I don't even think about it, but at the time, it was like, wow, he is either very small or she's very tall.
Two makers, a podcaster, and a pizza place.
That's right. Those were good times. Anyway, hey, welcome back. It's good to have you here. Let's dive in. What are we covering today?
When you guys were kids, you ever put together model kits?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Brian, what?
Those Aurora models were, I was all over those.
What were you the most in? Like, was it like, tell me what kind of models did you have as a kid, Brian? Because I had was cars and crap. It was boring.
Yeah, I did. It was all spaceships. It was, you know, Millennium Falcon. It was Frankenstein. It was the AT-AT. AT-AT, whatever the appropriate Star Wars pronunciation of AT-AT is.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah.
I remember we went to the Air and Space Museum and I got an X-Wing model.
Oh, nice. And
by the time I was done with it was more glue than plastic. Like specifically the canopy, right?
The
transparent part.
Any part that's supposed to be transparent, right? Yeah. If it got a little bit of super glue on it, it just crazed and turned completely opaque.
Right, and it was like fingerprints in like an opaque yellow.
Yeah.
And why then super glue? Why aren't you using like Tester's model glue or something?
I was 7, Brian.
Okay. Very young. Because this stuff can make a guy hold with a hard hat stick to the bottom of a girder.
That's right.
It'll definitely work for an X-Wing fighter. Well,
that's what they told us when we were kids. We knew what was up. That right. makes sense.
I don't know about you guys. I never got sick of putting together kits. It's still just so much fun. Obviously, Lego scratches that itch.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. I used to go to this place called Hammond Toys, or maybe it was Hammond Hobby. I forget. They're not around anymore, I don't think. But it was this local place, and they had everything. They had trains and cars and planes and vintage stuff, and I guess probably robots and other cool stuff as well. But it was kind of mind-boggling how they would vary for me. So one car would be like easy, like, oh, I put this together in a day, and I did a good job, and look at that. And then we'd say, all right, let's do this airplane. That looks easy. And it would take us weeks and be broken and stuff. So that always felt like a very inconsistent experience for me, as much as I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And I know that a lot of model kits are designed for different ages and complexity levels.
Mm-hmm.
I've put together a bunch of store-bought kits, but more than that, I've been fortunate that I've been able to get a lot of really fun, like fan-made kits of things. Obviously, lots of props. My friends and I both make space guns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But lately, I've been getting into more like models as opposed to props. Like a while ago, this was quite a few years ago, I made a Mr. Handy model from the Fallout series.
Oh.
A robot. Yeah. And he's like 20 different little pieces you got to glue together.
Mm-hmm. So wait, you can buy him as a set, you're saying? That's a thing?
I 3D printed that one.
Oh, okay.
Myself. Oh, that's cool.
So I completely made the kit myself, and then I molded it and cast it.
See, now that was my question. Cool. Can you, if Brian or anybody else with a 3D printer, can you go get these model kits as 3D, you know, make them yourself and then.
Right. Like if they even come on the sprues, like basically you print with about 5 parts on there.
Oh, that is so classic. It makes sense that you would do that though, right?
Yeah, totally.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I was just in a hobby town yesterday picking up some snips and X-Acto blades and stuff like that. And I walked through the model aisle and I was like, oh, man, that looks cool. Ooh, I can make that. And I ended up not getting anything, but there was some really cool Gundam. I do have a Gundam model that I got in Japan that I brought back and stole him and put together.
Oh, that's awesome.
You should open it. Open Gundam style. Get that out there.
Yeah. Let's just be the catalyst.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was in a hobby town last week getting paint for our current project. I did the same thing. The models are they always look so neat.
Tell me more about this hobby town. Is that everywhere? Can I go there?
It's a chain, Hobby Town USA. It's just a national hobby store chain.
Let's see if Utah has any.
I don't know if they have them where you are.
They're good. They've got like tons of RC car stuff and RC airplane, but also filament now. I can go buy filament there if I need to. It's where I go for paint. When I need paint, I go there.
Yep, me too. Most of my paints are model paints from there. Yeah. They also sell a lot of really neat raw materials. You would like you can buy a pre-made kit, all sorts of pre-made kits, but in their section with styrene plastic, if you take a peek at the display of that, there are sheets of plastic that all have different textures on them,
yeah.
And also little pieces of extruded plastic that are meant to look like I-beams or different shaped tubes. Like, it's an insane variety of shapes and stuff that you can get in a little piece of plastic.
See, what's cool about that is that I take pictures of the stuff I 3D print either to put on just on Twitter or if I'm selling something and put on Etsy. And I'm always looking for like, this could use a really cool background. And I forget about going there and just getting the stuff that they use for model railroads.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like perfect backgrounds for
all the giant stuff.
Axolotl lizard or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's the way you do it. Don't do a traditional like mountain scene for your trains. Do like a badass.
Have it like it's the a monster movie.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh,
like
sure. Or an alien planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I'm putting together something right now. It's a prototype from a video game. We're actually working with the company.
Ooh.
I'm not gonna spill all the beans, but you guys know in a couple weeks.
Cool.
But the long and short of it is we had got the 3D files from them and 3D printed all of them on our resin printer. And now I have basically the coolest model kit ever. It's a prototype designed for manufacturers. So it has all the screw holes and everything. And it's split up into lots of different pieces for manufacturing. So it's really nice.
That is a lot of footwork you don't have to worry about, right?
I know, right? Yeah. And then I'm stoked because today I get to put it all together. We've been painting all these pieces, but today is the day where I get to sit down with my cool model kit and put it all together. And I got to tell you, I'm stoked.
Yeah. You've never looked more forward to a Tuesday in your life than today.
Yeah, I woke up thinking about this. But like, there's something about the putting together a thing with lots of little pieces that just scratches a particular itch for me. Something about having lots of little parts, especially if any of the parts can move or have lights, which this model has moving parts and lights, which gets me extra excited.
Yeah.
It's also the sort of thing that I want to do more of. And I want to design more of, because like you guys were saying, if you could just give out or sell a file that people 3D print and they just pop it off the build plate and glue it together or screw it together to make a little kit, that just sounds fun. That sounds like a fun thing to make.
All right. So this, for sure. So I'm in my head this whole time. I'm like, is he dropping any hints to help me figure out what this is? And I haven't figured it out. So well
nothing,
done.
Haven't got
I've technically said a lot of hints. I'll give you one more. It's going to be a very satisfying build.
Oh, well then now I know.
Satisfying.
It's what I thought. It's absolutely from Sex with Hitler 2, available on Steam now. Get it now while you can. Sex with Hitler. That's a real game.
That's the sequel to Wolfenstein.
Yeah, the sequel to Wolfenstein, yes. Sex with Hitler. That's an actual game, and people buy it, and someone even offered me a key, and I don't want to ever see it. But that's the thing. It's real.
Yeah.
Anyway, now I know, and that's fantastic to hear. You obviously have a lot of love for.
I mean, thing. If there's anybody that they need to tap on the shoulder for that, it is you.
Yeah,
right,
sure.
Right. The stars align. It's a really, really neat project.
Yeah,
And we have again more. I'm going to be vague again, but we have a couple of other video game companies that have actually reached out to us to do some projects, and they're like the exact video game companies that I would want to work with. It's been kind of surreal lately. Yeah,
that's great. Look at you, 2023 goals. This is great. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. The other one that we're going to be starting on soon won't happen for a while, but it is. I'm even more excited about that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do I smell a little Starfield something in the future? Do I smell?
No,
a little...
it's not Starfield. Okay. But if anyone Bethesda wants to reach out for me to make Starfield stuff.
Yeah, Bethesda.
Know.
Look, you and Bethesda, long history, lots of cool stuff going
true,
on.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
I used to work at Microsoft. They're going to be owned by Microsoft, or they are owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, they are now.
We have so much in common.
They're 100% owned by them now, so why
right
not?
They are.
Yeah, just get in there, get that done.
Yeah. So anyway, to let that be I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who make model kits that you can download and print yourself. So anyone out there with a 3D printer looking for projects, that maybe add that to your keyword search, like model kit.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Or go buy a model kit.
Go buy a model kit. Go find Hobby Lobby has them too. If you've got a Hobby Lobby, as horrible as they are for everything else, and they're don't they have crappy views on stuff? But anyway,
oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, they're kind of poo-poo heads over there. But
that's yeah,
I got but,
yeah
at the Hobby Town. I got a one of those. It's a flat sheet of metal, like really thin metal, and then you take the pieces apart and fold it, and then I ended up making a DeLorean.
Yeah,
a little
something rare, not rare earth. What do they call that? Like I've got a TIE fighter and I think a Captain America shield
and it's got that real nice metal shine on
the
it.
The red metal and white metal and stuff.
It's yep. Cool.
That's
so if anyone's looking for a fun project, looking for something that scratches that creative itch, put together a little model kit. I can see the DeLorean right now, and I'm remember about how much of a pain. It's so tiny. I needed tweezers to put it together.
Yeah, sometimes that's fun though. Little stuff is kind of fun, right? Little tiny details and stuff.
That's right. And go to a Hobby Town USA. Avoid Hobby Lobby if you can.
Oh, good news! I did a search in the. That Hobby Town is there's four or five locations here, and there's one just up the street.
Good.
So yeah, nice. I had no idea. I don't know why I've never been.
Be prepared to like spend some money because that place is so fun.
Oh yeah, they won't know me, but you know.
They'll send me some punish points. They call them, and we'll get that all done. Bill, before you go today, and I can't wait to see this project as it evolves. But do you have a little bonus link for us before you go?
I do. This is a YouTuber named Tyler Bell, and he is, I learned, local to Seattle. So local guy. I don't know him, but I started chatting with him yesterday because I just watched this video and it's really exciting. He made a video becoming an action movie star. And he built a jump ram. It's a thing you jump on that sends you flying for stunts. And it looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I reached out to Tyler so that we can become friends and that hopefully he'll let me jump on this thing.
Oh, look at that, dude. That's so rad.
Just like in his backyard. Hey, want to come over and get thrown by my jump?
And I'll do a backflip like that guy. I'll film it. Don't worry, guys. I'll film... Before I go to the hospital, I'll film me doing a backflip.
This looks like simultaneously awesome and dangerous.
Kidding. Oh, well, wow. He did all the prototyping himself.
Jeez.
I'm sure he's got it all figured out now.
I just want to. I'd spend all day jumping off that. That's ridiculous. All right, that's awesome. Go check him out, Tyler Bell, on YouTube. Is the channel. Becoming an Action Hero is the video in my backyard. Bill Duran, always a pleasure. Don't forget to check out punishprops.com and, of course, his YouTube channel, Punish Props. And follow him on Twitter, @chinbeard.
Bill, have a great week.
We'll see you later.
Thanks, you too. Oh, my God. If you still have that video up, go to 9 minutes and...
Nine what?
You still 9 minutes, 49 seconds.
Okay, hold on. Pulling it up. Here, chat, we'll let you see this, too.
You got to let the chat see this one, too.
All right, here you go. Does he set it off by clicking it? Oh, I'm scared.
No, he has somebody who does it.
All right, here we go. The anticipation's killing me. All right, here we go. He's squatting down. Oh!
Isn't that great? Like, just enough to, like, jar him, but not enough to actually fling him.
Yeah, that's probably not the greatest stuff I've ever seen. That's amazing. All right. Always good stuff from Bill.
Oh,
fun
for
to
sure.
have him on today. All right. Bobby Turn. Let's get Bobby in here and talk some science. Get it through our thick skulls, how things work. Very exciting.
Science
indeed. We have with us Bobby Frankenberger, who joins us as he does each and every Tuesday that we can. Well, he's not flying like a fancy boy.
That's right.
he comes in and joins us and talks about science. First of all, how is all that going? Are you like a genius now? Are you like a flying? Are you?
I am the best.
Yeah.
I did fly today, by the way. I heard pre-show you talked about how I wasn't.
You were grounded. I thought you're.
No, I I usually you might think that because I often let you know ahead of time. Oh, I'm flying, and there might be a conflict, and just a heads up.
Sure.
The only time I tell you that is is if I think it might run late. Sure. It's usually 9 to 11, so I was up and down, hanging out, flying around, all of that, and down and listening to the morning stream on the drive home all before you guys started.
Oh, how many times a week do you fly?
I try to fly 2 times a week, but sometimes I get 3. Nice. More often, things get canceled.
Is it always really early in the morning? Like, what time do you go?
I try to go in there early in the morning, mostly because of the kids. I do it while they're in school.
Oh, sure.
Don't you ever worry that, like, I had some coffee this morning. I'm gonna get the coffee poop.
The jitters.
I do quite often, like just today even. So when I get out there, he sends me out to the plane to pre-flight and inspect the plane and everything before he joins me. And he comes out to the plane and he's like ready to go. He's got everything and he's walking out. And I'm like, I was walking past him to go back into the airport, and he goes, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I gotta pee. I'll be right back."
Yeah, gotta pee.
Because yes, I drink lots of coffee.
You don't want to be up in the, you know, I don't know how high you go in those planes, but you don't want to be 20,000 feet above the earth going, "Oh man, I forgot to pee before I left."
Yeah, you don't. You know how you don't want to pee in like a. Like an airplane, like yeah, one imagine. Of those. Well, in a Cessna 4-seater, there's a bag you put around your junk in the back seat.
You guys have that? Is that a thing?
I don't know if this plane has one actually, but that is a thing you can buy. Is just something
that's great. That's great. It's like the Stadium Pal or whatever they call that thing.
Yeah, you just pee into it because you can't. What are you gonna like land the plane and go to the bathroom?
No, crazy. It'd be crazy talk.
Chat room. Tom Norm does this. He's almost. It's almost like he's doing a little bit of chest pounding here. He says that's what wide mouth bottles are for. What are you saying there, Tom? You need a wide mouth bottle? Is that what you're saying? Interesting. Tom, trying to tell us how big your junk is. I get it. Sure. Anyway. It's good to have you here. Let's do some science.
Okay.
Lay it on us. What is scientifically significant this fine day?
For stargazers, there's some news happening. Something cool is coming. There's a comet that is going to be coming by, and it's green.
Oh.
And it hasn't been seen before.
Sorry. Why is it green? What's that about?
It's just the composition of the comet makes it so that when light interacts with it and it starts to off-gas stuff, it's green.
Okay.
There's hydrogen makes up the cloud and then some other elements, and it just looks green.
Huh. Interesting.
But it hasn't been seen since the last ice age. Roughly 50,000 years ago is the last time it was around Earth.
Oh my gosh.
And, so it was just spotted earlier last year in March, and now it's about to be here. So, have you guys ever seen a comet before?
Yes, but only the... What was that one where the psychos all thought that they were going to get picked up and taken to heaven?
Hale Bopp.
We saw that.
Bopp, I believe it was called.
Yeah. Was that 90s?
It hit the top.
I think it was 90s.
That's as far as that joke can go. Sorry.
97 or 98 or something like that, whatever the year was.
I don't know. I know I was in middle school when it came by, so yeah. 98 sounds about right.
That sounds about right. I remember seeing that. It was real vague and also cloudy and was hard to see, and we had we used somebody's telescope.
What were they called? The Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate,
yeah. Right. There's a great documentary on Netflix about those people. Might be HBO. I forget. But it's, what a freak.
They were the Kool-Aid ones, right?
Yeah, they were the Kool-Aid. Yes. Well, they're one of the Kool-Aid ones. The Kool-Aids and the, yes, Brian's right. And they all wore the weird suit uniform things. And
yes,
yeah. Right. But that's where the phrase come from, the drink the Kool-Aid.
No, that comes from the Jim Jones thing before that.
Does it really?
Yeah, the Ghana
that was
thing.
Before
where
my time.
He made everybody drink the Kool-Aid before he shot himself. That guy was terrible. Yeah. See, here... all of them suck. Okay, look, this culty business all sucks, but at least the Hale Bopp people all kind of just went all in and made the decision for themselves. They could leave if they wanted to. They didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
But Jim Jones like made people do it, murdered people while they were trying to leave on a plane, shot himself in the head like a coward a-hole. Like, I'm not trying to say one is good and the other is bad. I'm saying I more appreciate the one on the level of like you can go if you wanna, you know, you can get out of here. Yeah, you don't have to do this.
If you're to find the silver lining in cult mass suicides,
right?
Right, sure, that's where it is.
Yeah, but the cyanide laced drink thing, I think was, I don't know if it inspired them, but that was definitely a Jim Jones thing. And if you've never seen a documentary or anything on that, that is some weird shit right there.
The Jonestown thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad. Yeah. Anyway, on that fun note, let's continue on.
Well, I haven't heard of any cults related to this comet yet.
Yeah, not yet.
But
does it have a name? Did you give it a name, or is it not have a name? Is it a number?
It does have a name. The name is very pithy. It is a comet C/2022E3ZTF.
Oh, I'll never forget it.
Oh, that sounds like something Elon Musk would have named his kids.
They named it after one of Elon's kids. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's how great. It was named. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Like I said, it was spotted back in March of last year. Its closest point to Earth will be on February 2nd, but that's not probably the best time to see it. They say your best chance to see it is probably on January 21st, and that is because of the moon. There's going to be a new moon at the time, so the moon will not be as bright. It'll be easier to see it.
Okay. There's no danger to anything. It's not going to throw off anybody's tilts or accesses or freaking gravity.
No, even if it was coming real close to the Earth, the gravity is not going to be strong enough to do anything like that. And the closest point it's going to get on February 2nd, like I said, is about 27 million miles away. So that is a 0.29 AU, astronomical units.
Which Whoa. Is listen,
an
fancy
astronomical
boy.
Unit is the distance, the average distance between the sun and the Earth. We being very Earth-centric humans, we like to base everything on us.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. It's all from our perspective, so we have to make it about us. How about this? The greenness of it?
Yeah.
Is there any theory as to the makeup of it being perhaps minerals, ores, or otherwise that we've never heard of? Do they know what's making it green? Like, we're better at that stuff.
I actually didn't dig too deep into what's making it green, but different comets. So the short answer is I don't know what makes it green, but most comets are mostly just ice anyway. And the funny thing about comets, this is a fun fact, comet fun fact.
Yeah, love those.
The nucleus of a comet, which is the ball of ice itself, is usually about between like 1 and 10 kilometers in diameter.
Is it always ice? It's always ice.
Yeah, comets. That's what makes a comet is that it's made up of frozen gas and rock.
Why is it so stoked to get the F out of there? You know, like why is it always hurling somewhere? You know what I mean?
What's the hurry?
Where's the fire,
it's just,
man?
It's on its way somewhere else. It's just got to make a quick trip to see the sun and then
whip around, go home. Okay.
Getting the heck out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's only 1 to 10 kilometers wide, but what you see is this big glowing cloud, and that big glowing cloud can be as much as 2 million miles across, which is bigger than a lot of planets in our solar system.
Yeah.
So it's actually very, very big, the glowing cloud that you see. And the tail can be hundreds of millions of miles long.
What is in the tail? Just gas and...
Yep. So as the comet comes into the solar system, as it gets closer and closer to the sun heats up the comet.
Yeah.
And that causes it to not really melt. What it does is it just... the word that is what's the chemical change or the phase change is leaving my brain.
It's not evaporate, right?
It's not evaporate because that's liquid to gas. This goes straight from a solid state to a gas, and it's just I just for some reason can't remember.
Oh, like a burrito with me. Just solid state.
Sublimate.
And then gas.
Thank you, Matua. Oh, okay. Sublimate. Yeah, exactly. That's sublimation every day.
I do that with burritos. I had a smothered burrito last night.
Immediately turned solid into gas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's maybe a little slow.
So what happens is that gas gets trailed behind the comet. You've heard that comets often have two tails.
Yeah, I have heard that.
That's because there's one tail is the comet is going in a direction, and the tail is trailing behind the comet. Opposite the direction it's traveling, like you would expect.
But
the other tail is the solar wind that tail is push, it goes in the direction away from the sun.
So like if you're watching a car do its aerodynamic tests and you see that effect, it's not the same, but the effect of like you can see the wind traveling over the curvature of the car. Is it a little like that? Because you see that like
or whatever that is.
If the solar wind's coming and it hits it, it blows around the sides and comes out the back. Is that the idea?
It's not exactly that, because the two tails are caused by two different things in a comet. The first tail that is going opposite the direction that the comet is traveling, because the comet is not going directly towards the sun. It's going obliquely towards the sun. It's going to go past the sun, right?
Yeah.
So the easiest way to imagine this is imagine that the comet is passing the sun and the sun is to the comet's left, let's say. Well, there will be a tail going directly behind the comet in opposite the direction it's traveling. But then the sun itself is blowing another tail off to the right of the comet, because the sun's wind is pushing glowing dust and hydrogen and stuff like that away from itself, because the sun's solar wind is pretty powerful.
Wow. God, you wouldn't think it would be.
I didn't know it was that strong. Yeah.
That distance. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah,
we don't feel it here because we're protected by our magnetic field.
That's true. Right. Yeah. And then also Cillian Murphy and all those other people went and saved us by shooting a nuke into it. So that worked out good.
Yep.
Where do you stand on if we needed to? Let's say this thing was heading straight toward us. All right.
Yeah.
We've all seen the classic Michael Bay film Armageddon, where we send a bunch of oil workers up to the thing, and they land on it, and then they figure out a way to stop it. What would we? Are we prepared for such a thing? If one was aiming at us, it was as big as this one is, and it was coming straight trajectory on, what do we do anything? Are we just screwed?
Well, so two things about comets. We would probably see it at least a little bit ahead of time, because they're decently big. And this, like I said, was spotted a while ago. But it was first spotted only back in March, right? That's not a long time.
No, not really.
To prepare for something like this. Mm-mm. So fortunately, though, the most effective way to stop a comet made out of ice is to send heating blankets up there and wrap the whole thing up in just electric blankets.
Okay. This is as possible as Armageddon was. So
space heaters as well. Those
Bruce
have been floated
be
by.
Stuck behind, by the way, putting those those warming blankets on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I knew this was a one-way trip.
I'm kind of in the mood to watch that now. Dang it.
I am too. That movie's so good.
We talked about it a bunch on FilmSack too, and I think we're just in the mood.
Yeah. Because it was so much better a film than Moonfall. At me, Dunaway.
Yeah, that movie sucked. Dunaway just likes to be contrary on bad movies, I'm telling you.
He does, yes, exactly.
Well, it's interesting. I hope it continues to not be on a path to destroy us, but also be an interesting thing to watch as it goes by. Are we going to be able to see it?
We'll be fine.
Can we see it? Can I go out and look and watch this go by?
You actually might be able to. It would be hard to see right now. It's not quite close enough. I think it's at its closest point to the sun right now, which also makes it difficult to see, that'll be on January 12th is when it's the closest to the sun. I would wait a week or two, and then you might be able to see it. So if you want to look, again, your best chance is on the new moon on January 21st, or the day before, or the day after, maybe. What you're going to want to do is look. You have to be in the northern hemisphere, so sorry, Aussies. you're not going to be able to see it.
Okay.
So it's just the way the Earth faces. You have to be in the northern hemisphere. But here, if you look out into the to the northern sky, a little bit below, just below the Big Dipper, in the northern part of the sky, you should be able to see it. And if you wait until later, maybe in very beginning of February, you might be able to see it around Mars. But your best chance to see it with the naked eye is when it's the closest to us, mm-hmm. which is why I say January 22nd. Okay. If you're a week out from that, you might need binoculars or a telescope to see it.
Kipper, rank of captain in the chat, says it's very low on the horizon. Good luck if you're in a valley. So I guess if you're low, you may not see
it. Sorry, Scott. Is that the apogee? Is that when it's closest to us, or is that just being like at the height, like when something's at the very highest that it gets?
Apogee.
Apogee.
No, that's when you get Commander Keen on your hard drive and you play. Did they make? I think it was Apogee that made that.
I think Apogee is the highest point in its orbit. So that's
gotcha.
So, not so it's orbiting the sun. Okay. So it's the apogee would be when it's the farthest away from the sun.
Apogee. Gotcha.
Okay. Let's see. Apogee. Yeah. Point in orbit of an object such as a satellite orbiting the Earth that is at its greatest distance from the center of the Earth. Also, the point farthest.
The furthest from the Earth would be apogee.
It also
furthest from the sun. That's what I want. Because yeah. They're defining apogee in reference to Earth satellites.
Right.
But it's orbiting the sun, so it would be furthest from the sun. It's perihelion is the closest point to the sun.
What if you use it? What if it's in an adjective?
Apogean.
Apogean. What are we saying there when we say apogean?
Apogean.
I think you might have spelled it differently than with an E-P.
No, it says A-P-O-G-E-A-N. It's like apogee, but as adjective. I don't know. So apogean, that's an apogean asteroid, you'd say. Would you?
Yeah, I do. I use that adjective all the time.
Apogean. Yeah.
Great. That's fantastic. I love this kind of stuff, so I'm going to be looking for it. And
fart.
Whoops. I'm going to try and see it. I've never seen a comet before, so
that thing. Sorry, this there's a website here that I'm on that'll just say all the words, and fart was on the page. And I'm like, well, that's not going to play, is it? It played it. So there, that's fine.
Well, you see fart on the page, it might say it. You got to try.
Oh, you have to click it. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
There's no rule saying you shouldn't. Or something. Anyway, watch for big giant green asteroids, everybody. They're coming for you, whether you know it or not. That's the lesson to take away from today. Bobby, tell us about your awesome science show and what you guys are covering this week.
All Around Science is the name of the show. So stop what you're doing right now. Well, keep listening. Don't stop doing that. but go to a web browser and type in All Around Science and you'll find it. That is our podcast. We do weekly science stuff. And the last episode we just put out on Monday was the second part in our dark series. We did dark matter the previous week. Now we're doing dark energy this week. And it's 70% of the matter energy in our universe is dark energy.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
That's a high percent. That's like Apple's profit percentage when they work with a developer, the 30-70 split is what that is. So what you're saying is 70% of the energy is going to dark and 30% are going, we need to change that. We need to get we need to make it equal, right? 50-50.
You know, the one thing I love about you as a podcaster is you make these great analogies that make everything so easy to understand.
All right. Exactly. They're perfect non sequitur. No, they're sequitur. Yes. They're sequiturs. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, take it easy. Have fun. Fly around a lot, and we'll see you later. Bye now. All right, we're done with that. Let's get into a final text of the day. This is from Greg from Texas, who says, I had shingles in 2020. Oh. I was told it was a light case. It lasted 4 months, and only on my right side under my arm around the front of my chest, and it felt like a cattle prod. I am still numb in parts. So the point is, don't get shingles, you guys. It sucks.
Oh, my God. Oh, for that long.
I know. Jeez. 4 months of that. And he's still having weird things. And so I guess what I'm saying is, as rough as that second shot was for this vax, I'm really glad I got it because I don't want to do this ever. Don't want this.
God. Yeah.
Even a mild case, as they described it to him. 4 months of being cattle prodded. Good Lord. Anyway, hey, some quick PSA here. We got some shows coming up and already out. Play Retro today at 3:30 Mountain Time. We're talking about all the times Sega attempted and failed to reach the heights of the Zelda series. And Nintendo kind of won that battle. But there's some really fun attempts in there. We're going to cover those. So watch for that.
I don't know if I know any of those. That's going to be interesting.
There's one called, is it Legend of Senti? I forget the name. It's a terrible name, but the game's really good, and it just didn't get the coverage it needed to get any kind of legs, and there were other attempts. I don't know. They just never could quite pull it off. We'll discuss why. That's today at 3:30 Mountain Time, and of course on the podcast later. Also, a brand new Diablo show went up yesterday, did a big deep dive on Tyrael and what his role might be in the new game coming out this June. So go check that out. Bunch of great calls and emails from that one as well. So I think you guys will enjoy it. That's the Diablo show, wherever you get your podcasts. And a new Skim went up as well. Kim and I sat down and talked about her windshield wiper flying off into the meeting.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That and how do you feed 100 Ukrainians? Well, if you want to know, find out on the latest episode.
Sounds like the beginning of a joke, doesn't it?
It does. It kind of does. Yeah. The point, the trick is buy a lot of pork. They like the pork over there in Ukraine.
Sure.
Anyway, that's in Ukraine. I don't want to get any emails about me saying
not
the
right,
Ukraine.
Not the.
Yeah.
The.
We know now.
You don't say how to feed 200 the Ukrainians.
No, nobody does. Do you have anything going on you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, I don't. Not recording any podcast. I'm done podcasting, Scott.
That's this it. He's out. Right,
this, I'm done.
We're making the announcement now. Yeah.
No, Soundography just went up. What else? There was something else. Oh, I should have this TMS Steam Deck stand.
Oh, yeah.
Up on Etsy later this afternoon. So keep your eye on coverville3d.etsy.com, I think is
I think that's it. Yep. It's a subdomain, I think, is how they do it.
That's right.
We'll make sure that goes up. And when we do, we'll talk about it tomorrow as well.
Yeah, we'll tweet the crap out of it and stuff. And that'll go up. And we'll talk about it tomorrow and stuff. Although, by then, I might be inundated with orders and you might be waiting a long time.
You never know. Each one takes like 12 hours to print.
It really does. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it's a long time. Anyway, that'll be great. We're looking forward to that. Don't forget, our Patreon needs you. That's right, patreon.com/TMS. There was like some auto ads that ran in the show yesterday, and I had somebody write me and said, hey, is there a way to support the show and not get ads? I said, well, if you'd hang around to the end of the show and hear me say this every day, the answer is yes. All you have to do is sign up on Patreon, even at the lowest amount, $1 a month, and you'll never get an ad. You'll get pre-show content every day that you wouldn't get otherwise right there in the same file. You'll get couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, other benefits that you can only get this way. The T level, that's still in there. It's amazing. We love working with Gwen. There's lots of other great stuff, so do check it out. Patreon.com/TMS. And you know what? I'm feeling generous. The next three people that sign up today, so it has to be posted on today's date, January 10th, next three patrons we get, you all get a rad Frog Pants multi-pack in the mail.
Whoa.
Yeah. Cool. Stickers, prints.
Multi-pack.
What else? Maybe a couple of pins. I don't know. Something cool. Well, I'll throw that together and get it to you. So if you haven't done it yet, now's your time. Patreon.com/TMS. Now's the time for us to leave. Let's do it with a panache. Let's have a song. Do you have a song?
Now is the time when I play a song. Yes. Luke, a.k.a. A Whatnot in the chat, said, sup, Strawberry and Banana. As I've done for the past few years, I'm requesting a cover of a song by Queen for my birthday. This year is a bit different in that it's also a request for my girlfriend's birthday. Any cover of You're My Best Friend would be perfect. Let your mind go. As your dreams grow, try to remember them so you have stuff for the show. Happy birthday, Monica. Miss your face. Thanks, Luke. A Whatnot in chat.
Let's party.
Beautiful.
It's really
it's
the worst
best
every
thing. Time I hear.
It's so dumb.
all right, so I have played so many different covers of You're My Best Friend by Queen on this show that I'm running out of really good ones. Thank goodness that a couple years ago, Michael V. Doan released an album called 8-Track back in 2017, which included a version that I forgot to label as a Queen cover, and so I found it today, and said, oh, I got to play this version. This is good. It's different. And that's the other thing. It's got to be different, right, from the original. Yeah. I've got one by Horse Feathers that's too much like the Queen version.
This is the Brian rule I always remember. If your cover doesn't have these variations to make it unique, then he's probably not going to play you.
I'm not going to play it. It's going to sit. It's just going to sit and collect dust.
That's right.
Here is Michael V. Doan joined by Andrew Savalski for a cover of You're My Best Friend by Queen.
you make me live now, honey. Ooh, you make me live. Oh, you're the best friend that I ever had. I've been with you such a long time. You're my sunshine, and I want you to know that my feelings are true. I really love you. You're my best friend. Ooh, you make me live. I've been wandering around, but still come back to you. Rain or shine, you stood by me, boy. I'm happy at home. You're my best friend. Whenever this world is cruel to me, I got you to help me forgive. Ooh, you make me live now, honey. Ooh, you make me live. Oh, and you're the first one when things turn out bad. You know I'll never be lonely. You're my only one. And I love the things, I really, really love the things that you do. Ooh, you're my best friend. Ooh, my best friend.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Exactly 1 minute, 52 seconds. That's excellent.
Yes, very good.